Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I sort of remembered this, the start of this episode. How to say it, Tim caught me sleeping. He let me sleep, which is quite magnanimous given how he sometimes treats me otherwise in the podcast. But this is a dated episode. There's a probably, you know, a trigger warning about our mental state at the start, where Tim sort of discusses offing himself due to fatigue and exhaustion. And then he wakes me up and gets me to start podcasting with him. And I feel like we're kind of whispering the whole episode. But, you know, we're shouting out such cultural luminaries in the year 2014 as Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K. We spend a bit of time trying to remember the name of James Lipton, R.I.P. And even start speculating about the name Malcolm Tucker, which if you listen along and can't figure out who it is, Malcolm Tucker is Peter Capaldi's character in The Thick of It, which is an Armando Iannucci sort of satire show from the UK, sort of a forebear for Veep, same creator. Yeah, I mean, it's a powerfully dated episode. But otherwise, it's got all the hallmarks. It's got your P. Schwartz's. It's funny listening to it thinking, we're going to get a tattoo of this guy. I'm going to DM this guy on Twitter. This guy's going to have a big career in 10 years. S. Buscemi. Chris Rock's put out top five. It's a bit of correspondence. It's all sort of going this episode, really. It's a humble episode, but it's got a sort of, you know, a strong core. It's been doing lots of prone holds or whatever exercise it is that strengthens your core. What do you need me to tell you about it? You're going to listen to it.
Welcome to the worst idea of all time, episode 32. We've just watched the movie again, sort of, and to be honest with you guys, I want to cry. I've been a volunteer phone counselor at Yesline before. I've been touched by depression, people in my life, but I really want to kill myself at this point. I don't want to make too light of that, but I'm feeling suicidal. Guys pegged out. Been asleep through the whole movie, and I think he might just be coming to now. How are you, guy? Let me give you a mic. Let me mic you up.
Shoo boy, I'm going good.
How do you feel? You're looking pretty sleepy there, my friend.
Oh yeah, boy.
So let me tell you about my movie watching experience, guy. Because
put it on, big fella.
You've been in the land of Nod for a little while, so let's get your engine warmed up before I throw your head first
into
the podcast.
Please do.
So this was Watch 32. We've got 20 to go, and I feel really sad about the project and about what we've got to do from here on out.
Well, it was a sugar-coated viewing that you put on yourself, wasn't it? I mean, you came in, you relaxed, you were in a good mood, too good probably.
It was all right.
And sort of, I feel like time's really just gone whizzing by, and suddenly here we both are.
Yeah. That's generally what happens when you fall asleep, though. Time tends to get a bit distorted.
The concept of time gets distorted, but time itself actually Well, it's constant.
It is, yeah. That doesn't change. It's a perception. It's a perception that changes. So, look, we've got a lot of business to get through.
We've got a lot to get through.
I want to bring up, because people have been very generous with... listen, people have been very... I don't understand why anyone's listening to this podcast, to be honest, but there's a few people who are, and they're sending us messages, which I
different like sort getting. Of times and days and feelings when I felt like that too, Tim. But by and large, I actually feel pretty positive about the whole operation most of the time.
That's good. That's a good thing. Except when you're watching the movie, though, right?
Well, in fairness to the film, there was a moment earlier when I did feel like this isn't so bad.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what the moment was?
Not at all. That's pretty much the last thing I remember before you woke me up and said, hey, we're doing this.
Because I think the only fair thing to do now would be we're going to have to tack one on where I'm asleep.
Oh.
It feels like the only fair way to even it up, you know?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that to you. And namely myself. I wouldn't do that to myself.
I haven't brought this up before, but what we're doing reminds me a lot of the Milgram experiment.
What's the Milgram experiment?
I think they're doing like the 60s where they would get two sets of actors and one of the actors played the role of doctor. So they would wear a white lab coat and have a clipboard and they had a defined script that they could say. And then the other actor would be behind a glass booth connected to what looked like a series of electrodes to their body. And they get a volunteer off the street to... the facade was for the volunteer off the street was that they were trying to test for people, I think it's like their psychic abilities. So they would hold up a card that was facing the wrong way and say, what symbol is on this card? It'd be like, it's a triangle. And if they got it wrong, they got shocked, they got electrocuted. And the level at which they got electrocuted kept increasing if they got it wrong.
Yeah.
But it was the volunteer off the street who kept shocking them. So the person wasn't actually getting electrocuted, they were an actor. And the doctor actor, all they could say to try and encourage the person to keep increasing the voltage was the experiment requires you to continue. And they got basically what they were trying to test is if you have a person in authority, could you get to a point of putting your own morality to the side so much that you end up killing another human being?
Mm.
And what they found out is as long as it's someone else's responsibility, people will basically always do that. And I feel like there's an aspect of pain that we're putting ourselves through at this point. We're like, we're surrendering all common sense because we've set the rules down.
It's interesting. And in depth, I mean, I really don't know what to say. You laid it on pretty heavy. I think it does hurt to watch. Like it did... What I remember of watching the movie on this particular screening, I mean, there was a lethargy and pain to the fact that it was happening again and that I'd already seen it all. I mean, again, you've come in with it very heavy.
Sorry.
No, it's good. I mean, it's...
I feel like that's where we're at, though, man.
Yeah.
We're in a heavy point in the project. But the experiment must continue. You know,
God, he's good. God, he's good. Fuck, he's good.
Someone named David Hamilton posted on the. He's from Denton, Texas, which is cool. We've got someone listening in Texas.
Denton, Texas. That's pretty good.
He's posted a thing on our Facebook group. It's an article to a cinemablend.com article about what Chris Rock was up to during the shooting of Grown Ups 2.
Yeah, I saw this in passing. This is actually reasonably interesting because we've talked about this before, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we've kind of mentioned...
We've talked about what Chris Rock was doing while offset, on set for Grown Ups 2.
So it turns out we've got an answer to that because while Chris Rock was in his trailer, because he even said, I think there's a quote from him in this article that says like, even though he was number four on the call sheet, he was a big dog. He was important.
Oh, big time.
He was instrumental to the ensemble cast. He was very...
It's Chris Rock.
It was critical. He didn't have a lot to do. So whenever he was in his trailer, which was a lot of the time, he was working on the script for a film that he made, which has just come out called Top 5. And it's been released at the Toronto International Film Festival to quite solid reviews by all accounts. And it's got a lot of cameos in it, and Adam Sandler's in it at the end.
Oh, that's good. I love the idea that Chris Rock used that time responsibly.
Same, man. Yeah.
And like, Adam Sandler kept trying to cut off, like, hey, no working on your own projects.
But he still came into his movie, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, you got to respect that. Adam Sandler thought it was a quick cash grab from Chris Rock. I'm not agreeing to be in your fancy pants drama movie. I'll only be in your comedy, your family comedy. I'm Adam Sandler. However he says anything. Yeah, it's not bad.
This next message is from Casey Russell, who's also posted on our Facebook group. Casey, I don't know if you're a boy or a girl, says, so I just watched the movie Against Your Advice. And let me just come away from the message to repeat our message, which is don't watch the movie.
Don't watch the movie.
Don't watch the film. The message continues. I was expecting everything in the movie after listening to all the podcasts, but while watching, I was lulled into a false sense of security that the movie was actually a decent movie. There weren't any laughs, but it wasn't too difficult to get through. I finished the movie about 10 minutes ago, and I've never felt more drained in my entire life. I feel like it's taken all the good out of me and replaced it with abuse and violence and burps and farts. I only hope more people can take your advice to heart more.
That's lovely feedback.
We couldn't have warned you.
But also, more. I mean, I got to say, you live a life of extremes, Casey Russell. Like if you're like, oh, this movie's going okay, and then suddenly you feel sort of all of these dark feelings. I mean, Casey's got to look at a mirror and see what's going on with Casey lately. How's Casey doing? I mean, how are things going in Casey's home? Have you got kids, Casey? Are they happy? Are you happy with who you are? You got to look at yourself, Casey. You got to look at yourself. Think about it. I think this is a pretty good time to go into the Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour.
No. The Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour is coming to take us away.
Coming to take you away, take you away.
So, I had something for this. Did you want to throw anything out?
No. I believe the onus is on you to tell me what happened to Steve Buscemi's character prior to this film that has rendered him sort of motionless in the leg department.
In the arms.
But very busy in the arms.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I reckon he got bitten by something venomous, like probably a snake. Yeah, that's what I'm going with this time. Steve Buscemi's character, Wiley, was bitten by a poisonous rattlesnake in the spine. Bitten in the spine. Unfortunate place to be bitten. And I think it happened when in the first movie they were all camping together on a dusty mountain full of rattlesnakes. Full of rattlesnakes. They call it Rattlesnake Mountain. And if you're at the base of the mountain at night time and you close your eyes, you can hear the gentle
Oh, I'm buying into this. The deeper you go, I think Rattlesnake Mountain sounds like a real thing.
Mm.
I think that Adam Sandler's family probably wouldn't cross-reference their holiday destination so well.
Yeah.
So they might wind up holidaying around Rattlesnake Mountain.
That was the funny thing about the first movie. They were supposed to go to Disney World, right? You hear me?
Yeah.
And because Adam Sandler is too proud to use MapQuest or Google Maps or Apple Maps, whatever his chosen provider is, he's too proud. He ended up driving them off course, and then the car broke down onto Rattlesnake Mountain. And because everyone was following Adam Sandler's car in a convoy situation,
because they're also scared of him because he yells so much,
so abusive.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, so that's what happened to Steve Buscemi in the Mystery Tour this week. Man, he got bitten by a rattlesnake on Rattlesnake Mountain in the spine.
I like the Steve Buscemi Mystery Tour. They also conveniently leads me into my next question, Tim, which is, I mean, with regards to the podcast that we're doing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we talk about people involved in the movie. I mean, if they caught wind of what was happening here, and mostly in Auckland, New Zealand.
Yes.
I mean, how do you think a lot of them would sit on it? I mean, how do you think, say, Kevin James would feel if he found out that we were doing this podcast?
Kevin James would be fucking furious if he found out what we're doing. And I put Adam Sandler in that camp too. I think he'd be upset.
So if they catch wind of this, they're not going to be cool about it.
I reckon David Spade would be right with it. I feel like Chris Rock could probably see the comedy in it. I think he'd be kind of like the one who's on the fence. I think John Lovitz would be very into what we're doing here. Very into it.
Yeah.
Peter Dante might already know what we're doing because he apparently favorited a tweet where someone was kind of talking about us, tagging us in.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe he's got some awareness of it. It would blow my mind if we got an opportunity to talk to Peter Dante on the podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's pretty amazing. Pretty busy with his job as a policeman. If you could just take a moment of your time, Peter.
Guy, you know the movie's not real, eh?
Well, right now, Tim, it's sort of just woven into the fabric of my mind.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to unstitch right now, because I know normally you realise the difference between make-believe and real, but I feel like right now I'm not sure if you're totally
distinguishing. I mean, the jarring reality of the situation, Tim, is I'm sitting here on a couch, sitting, frankly, uncomfortably close to you. It's about 1:30 on a Wednesday night, and we're fucking talking about Grown Ups 2 once a fucking again.
It's like that Whitesnake song, Here I Go Again on My Here Own, because you fell asleep.
Here she goes again.
Two different songs, but yeah.
Look.
Yeah, sure.
Look.
Sure.
Look, it's just like...
Tell me,
what's love got to do?
Guy.
Got to do. Oh, turn into tell a me
can you describe exactly how you're
what's
feeling?
What's love but a secondhand emotion?
Ever since I got these new mics, which are handhelds, we've gotten real sing-songy.
What's love? Yeah, well,
they lend themselves to having a bit of a jam.
I feel like a glamour-puss with this microphone.
I know. You look like a glamour-puss. You look like an absolute glamour-puss.
With a velvet purr.
Hey, speaking of a velvet purr, I've got to show you my painting that I bought today, man. I bought a large painting on velvet, which I didn't know was the thing, of a tiger that I'm going to put in my bedroom facing my
bed.
Where
is it right now?
It's in my bedroom.
Just on the ground.
Do you want me to get it?
I mean, the podcast is essentially an oral medium, and so I don't know what value our listeners are going to get out of you wading into your lounge with this big tiger picture.
All right, you know what? We'll leave it.
Well, I would like to speak
maybe
about
I'll put a photo up
tigers
of
quickly. I wrote a note in your little notebook.
Did you? Oh, that's really
in big capital letters.
Yeah.
It says Mayor Rudolph Mini Ripperton, and this was a revelation to me that was very exciting. So Mayor Rudolph, famous actress, comedy actress, Mayor Rudolph from television and the film and the screen.
People would probably most know her from Bridesmaids, right?
She's a regular player on Saturday Night Live. Anyway. Her mother is the very famous soul singer, Minnie Ripperton, who's well known for her range, probably best known for her song Lovin' You, which was lampooned on a South Park episode. You know, Lovin' You is it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's a cozy, beautiful.
Yeah, and that's when she displays her wonderful range. Anyway,
should be like a soprano? What's the one about?
I don't know. I think she had a 5-octave range. I don't know what the word is.
That's a lot. That's Freddie Mercury territory, man.
She also sang a great song with the Rotary Connection, who are sort of a soul and funk band called Black Hole of the Sun. And, like, anyway, very brilliant singer. She died at 31.
Holy smokes.
Of breast cancer. She's one of the early public figures to sort of speak out about having it and
what
publicly deal with it.
What an amazing body of work to have.
And she's like...
By then.
Is it? Well, quite right. So she's a marvellous singer. And Maya Rudolph's her daughter, who's also sort of carved out a very good reputation for herself, and then pretty much served a sous vide turd. And if you don't know what a sous vide is, that's when you cook, you steam the turd at a certain temperature in a bag in boiling water. So it's in a sort of a glad
like
bag.
Like broiling?
Yeah, similar, yeah.
Similar to broiling.
So and that's what Maya Rudolph's done here. I mean, she's married, as we've said before, to Paul Thomas Anderson, one of the sort of true auteur directors in Hollywood right now.
Auteur?
Might know Paul Thomas Anderson from The Master.
Auteur?
Do you know what an auteur is?
No. No, I don't.
Someone with a distinct style or like fingerprint. So if you're watching an auteur, I mean, you could say Dennis Dugan.
Someone is
Dennis Dugan, the director of Adam Sandler films, is an auteur of sorts. Look, this point's really gone off the rails.
Do you know what's really weird? That Maya Rudolph's mum died at 31. What's always weird is getting above the age of where your parents died. You know what I mean? So Maya Rudolph now would be in her late 30s at least. I'd say late 30s. She's probably around the mid to late 30s. So it's like when you get past that age of when one of your parents died, that's got to be strange territory, eh?
It does have to be strange territory. I actually I came to the realization the other day, Tim, with a heavy heart, when I was flicking through the sports section of the New Zealand Herald, that I'm just not going to be an All Black, which a lot of people would argue that's something I should have already known. But like, I was looking at the team list for the All Blacks, and I was older than most of them. And I sort of had to pause and take stock and say, "You're gonna have to let that dream go."
You know how non into sports I am. I've actually had that exact same thought.
Yeah.
Probably a year ago, I was like looking at the squad. I think when they were overseas, but it was a match in Australia or something. I was looking at they had a table with the ages on. And I was like, it can never happen.
Yeah.
I'll never play for the ABs.
Well, I'm glad that you have had that moment, because it was real. It was visceral.
Totally.
And it was like, I mean,
it's quite sad, man. Quite sad, because there's no... when you find out that something's impossible, that's quite a sad realisation.
Yeah.
It's quite disempowering.
I mean, that's the thing, is I just like to have the idea of it bubbling away on the back burner. Like, I could give up. I could drop everything.
I'll get to it. Or I could.
I could drop everything, you know, at the drop of a hat, so to speak, and become an All Black. And it's just not real.
This seems like as good a time as any to kick off one of my favourite segments, probably my favourite segment. It's the 5, 6, 7, 8.
Paddy Schwartz, party time. It's Paddy Schwartz, party time. It's party time. With Paddy Schwartz.
Love that. So in the movie Grown Ups 2, there's a moment when our film's protagonists first meet the college kids at the quarry.
And Suicide 35 off the top rock, 35 feet above the water. My mom did that jump when she was pregnant with me.
That's the one. And Taylor Lautner says at one point, he gets so angry that the older men are there invading the personal space of Kappa, yeah. Kappa Alpha Sigma.
You guys have ruined our celebration.
That he says that his hands are shaking. And Patty Schwartz says, yeah, my brother's hands are shaking. Yeah,
my brother's shaking.
And what he does at that point is Patty Schwartz, that is, he backs away slightly. He extends his fingertips into a jazz hand formation.
That's right.
And that's followed by a little hair ruffle to display for the camera and for us watching just how pissed off he is on his brother's behalf.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his brother is shaking. He's so mad.
That's the decision he made. He's like, this is my show of solidarity. This is me empathizing with my brother who's so angry. I'm going to take a couple steps back, throw out some jazz hands, and ruffle my own hair. Because I mean business. I'm Patty Schwartz.
I'm Patty Schwartz.
My dad is
Terminator. Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that's something that you do have to wonder is, does he understand the concept of character? So does he understand that, while yes, he is Patrick Schwarzenegger, and yes, his father is the Terminator from the movies, whether or not he's managed to remove that fact from his mind during the filming of Grown Ups 2, whether or not that particular piece of information sort of permeates his entire body of work in the film. So when you're watching him, I mean, do you not feel like you're looking at someone who does think that their dad is the Terminator?
I don't think he's undergone that level of critical analysis.
So you don't think he's got any consideration either way?
No. I don't think he has.
It's not how the brain works.
Not how his brain works. Not how Patty Schwartz's brain works.
How does his brain work? What's he thinking when he's on set?
Patty Schwartz.
Party time. It's Patty Schwartz party time. It's party time.
Dennis Dugan keeps yelling action. Don't know what to do because it's Patty Schwartz
party time. It's Patty Schwartz party time. It's party time. With Pettis, stop yelling at me, Dennis.
I wanted to bring up the
party time
scene in the supermarket when Adam Sandler's in there. He gave me a very confirming eyebrow raise of acknowledgement. Like, yep, I know that. I know that bit of that movie that you're talking about.
I know all of the bits in this movie.
It's after one of my favorite lines.
One of the few
lines.
Triumphs of this project is, I know all of the bits of the movie, which does not read well on a date.
Have you been on a date recently?
No, I have not. No.
Okay.
I mean, I'll go on one. if you want to set me up with...
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've got someone. I'll set you up.
Can I... Okay, yeah. Cool.
Oh, wait. No. Sorry. No. They've got a thing.
What?
They've got a thing.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
Well, I'll think of someone else, man.
This is not a good time for this conversation.
So they're in the supermarket, and it's when Kyle gets called mud stuffing because Adam Sandler is mixed up.
You fucking love this, bro. You love this more. Muffin. You love this for more than
it's worth. No. But this, I've moved on from there. This is about that bit, but a different part of it. So the exchange in that supermarket bit between Adam Sandler and Kyle is like, because he goes, oh, how do you know my wife? He goes, oh, I worked her out this morning. And then Adam Sandler goes, yeah, I worked her out too, pretty good. So it's kind of, he's like, oh yeah, you fucked my wife. I'm slightly perturbed by that, and I would like you to know that I also had sex with her. Instead of like, are you serious?
Which is a lie.
You had extramarital sex with my wife, and you're just telling me to my face in a supermarket as I'm buying juice boxes for a party. Do you know what I mean? He seems very fine about it.
Adam Sandler does.
Yeah. Do you think he realizes? He's not smart enough to put it together that he's a yoga instructor.
I'm working out pretty good too. Look, I think it's just a reflex in Adam Sandler.
But wouldn't your reflex be, I'm not a violent man, I reckon I'd punch him. I reckon I'd I'd punch him in the face.
I know.
If he was like, hey, how do you know my wife? Oh, I'm fucking it.
Look, do you know, I was going to make some sort of offhand comment, but I said this to you when I watched the film today. So Adam Sandler's wife is in the movie. She plays the principal's wife. She's in the yoga room, or the squat aerobics class, when the instructor comes in. And the instructor says, he's telling the ladies to stop perving on him pretty much. And he's like, da, da, and I happen to be gay. Mm. And everyone abuses him for being gay, except for Adam Sandler's wife, who sort of nods, like, agreeably, like, yeah, you are gay, and I'm okay with that. And she's the only person in the town who has a modicum of sort of sanity with regards to the matter. And if you are listening, Mrs. Sandler, which you might be cowering in a green shed sort of out the back of your house while Adam frantically looks around for you to offer you a role in Grown Ups 3, and you're just out here in the shed listening to us going, oh, I hope they talk about me soon. You're welcome.
And here we are.
And here we are.
I'd like to close off the episode with a question from Hillman Cobbs, or Cobbs.
Mm-hmm.
How would you say it? C-O-B-S, Cobbs? Cobbs.
C-O-B-S is Cobbs. Like multiple cobs of corn.
Hi guys, love the podcast. I just finished listening to all the back episodes, brackets, never watched the movie. See, Hillman knows what's up. Heeded the advice. Question. If you could have any character from the film brought into reality to be a guest on your podcast, which would it be and what questions would you ask them? Thank you for your question, Hillman.
Okay. We'll do one each, I guess, right?
I guess so.
Mine would be the history teacher. I assume it's history teachers. The hippie, also the lead from Grandma's Boy, a regular Adam Sandler player, says, all right, little birds, find your nest, man.
And also, slow down. Summer is here, man.
I'd like to say, how did you find Braden Higgins as a pupil?
Oh, good question.
How did you find Braden Higgins in English?
His grasp of it.
Yeah, if they did a creative writing course, maybe. I mean, what sort of tense did Braden use? How many tenses did Braden use?
Yeah,
did he abide by the concept of tense as we know it? I'd like to say, I mean, what's it like in the staff room? Does the gym teacher show that sort of sense of humor towards everything? Or is he just enjoying that particular moment in that particular class because it is the last day of school for the term? And I'd like to say, I mean, what are you doing in this town? Really? You got a great attitude. You seem like a very relaxed dude. I mean, you'd do well anywhere. Why are you here? What about you?
I want to talk to... Oh, look, I want to talk to John Lovitz. There's no getting around it.
You want to talk to John Lovitz?
I want to know what's brought him to that point. He seems like a reasonably... He's creepy, but he's a reasonably smart and articulate, devious young man, old man, a man.
John Lovitz the person or John Lovitz the character?
Because the question is about the janitor. It's about the character.
So you want to talk to... I want to talk to that character in real life.
I want to... You know, like inside the actor's studio where that creepy dude... What's his name? The host?
Oh,
he's got the glasses.
Frustrating.
Yeah,
and embarrassing because we've got an American listenership now.
Oh.
And we should... Malcolm Tucker? No.
No.
James Tucker? No.
James something. It's James.
James Lipton.
Thank you so... You're good. James Lipton.
We got there. God, who's Malcolm Tucker? Who the fuck is Malcolm Tucker?
I'll Google that later.
Okay, anyway.
So James Lipton, when James he goes... like he'll have Kevin Spacey on or something, he'll be like... I would like to talk to, and then he would like say the name of a character. I was gonna complete it with a reference, but then I forgot all of
Eric Lamonsoff.
Yeah, but I was gonna go with Kevin Spacey one.
Okay,
like
K-Pax.
Oh God, yes! great one to bust out of the hat. That is such a good movie. Fuck, I love K-Pax. I haven't seen that in a few years. I might get that out.
Hey, look, we are running out of time.
Oh yeah, so listen, here's what I would ask. I'd mainly just ask like what's got him to that point of being a janitor. That's all.
We've also got a crowbar and a shining light.
Oh, fuck,
and
yeah.
You've told me yours already, and I'd like to sharing it with you.
Okay, cool.
Because I think it is a real triumph of Hollywood. And I'll preface it by saying, just for laughs, recently on YouTube released a whole lot of old stand-up footage from their sort of archives.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like old Louis C.K.
What era are we talking?
Sort of like late 80s through 90s and even early 2000s. So you've got Bill Hicks, like...
unseen Bill Hicks footage.
Yeah, like it's material you've kind of seen before, but it is...
Shit, that's cool.
Like Mitch Hedberg,
oh, wow.
Bill Burr, and Chris Rock. And Chris Rock has got like a snaggle tooth. And because this leads into your shining light, which is this is Chris Rock sort of complying to the norms of Hollywood.
Mm. It's teeth. My shining light is everyone's teeth.
Yeah.
In the film. All of the main guys.
Phenomenal teeth.
Outrageous teeth, actually. Like, outrageously good. None of them real teeth.
Yeah, and you got to respect that. Because, I mean, between 1987 and 2014, Chris Rock had to have had braces.
I don't know if that's true. Sometimes you can go into an orthodontist and they do that thing where they like bash them around.
Really?
And you've just got like a bruise.
Do you get put under and then just smash your teeth around?
Just smash them around. I believe that's a thing. It might not work for everyone. Or alternatively, maybe he just got teeth removed and they just chucked in like caps or whatever the fuck they do.
Mm.
You know? If you've got enough money, you can generally just hurl it. Although Tom Cruise had braces, and I feel like if there's any way around that, he would have paid for it.
It's part of his image, though. It's a very carefully curated image.
I'm about ready to chuck a fork in this one. Episode 32.
Have a bite of the grown-ups tooth sausage. Stick a fork in us because we're cooked.
I'd like to just say that we are probably about to put out a little press release because we've come up with this idea that we'd quite like to watch the movie for the final time for the 52nd episode in Los Angeles.
Mm. I think we've earned that right.
And it'll be like a weird pilgrimage, but I don't know. It'd be good if someone could help us out financially a little bit, maybe. I don't know. I don't feel like begging.
Well, no.
But we'll suss it out as the plan.
We're not beggars, but we are.
As the plan crystallizes a bit more.
We are.
Keep you up to date.
Floating that little helium-filled turd balloon into the atmosphere, saying...
And on that visual...
Yeah.
I will bid you...
Adieu.
But thanks for listening. Don't watch the movie and love every moment.
Love every day, yeah. Because before you know it. Hey, can we actually, screw that, can we change this music to Minnie Riperton?
Yeah, okay. All right, here it comes.
Is more than just a dream come true. Oh.